Thank you, worship team, so much. Thank you, church. Thank you, Kyle. Come on, give a round of applause for our worship team and our production teams. They make it look so easy coming into a new space, but it is not. There's a lot of stuff to figure out, and we love our team. They are brilliant and breathtaking, and we are thankful for them. Amen, church? Amen. It's been a big week in our house. Big week in our house. We're in a series called Keys, where we're unpacking key scriptures that we believe are important to your faith and my faith, key scriptures to put to memory. So last week, my daughter, our youngest, turned 17. Sorry, she did not turn 17. That was in December. I'm a good father. I'm a good father. It's who I am. She got her license this week because she of her age. She got her full license this week. If you don't have a prayer life, you do when your kids start driving, folks. And you should pray too. And she's brilliant. She's talented. She's an amazing driver. But difference between boys and girls, man, my son got his license. He's like, got my license? Cool. My daughter got her license. She gets in the car. First thing, she goes, I need to order a new keychain. I need a new keychain. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, I'm like, here's the key. She goes, no, I need a keychain. I need sunflowers and I need to bedazzle it. She goes, I need something to hang from the rearview mirror. I'm like, we as Millers do not hang things from the rearview mirror. She goes, no, I need like an air freshener. I need something. I'm like, you grew up in Sackville. Of course you did. You're going to need fuzzy dice or something. She ordered this AirTag keychain. It's yellow. She's got sunflowers. This keychain, you need someone to carry the keychain for you. You need a pickup truck to carry the keychain as you drive the Honda Civic. That's what she needs. It's interesting, as we gave her the keys this week, I was aware that we just gave her a new access to new levels of opportunity. Before, I'm like, hey, can you drive me? Can you pick me up? A friend's driving me. And now I'm like, Maddie, you know you can just walk outside and jump in that car anytime you want, as long as you're home by midnight. You know you can be out anytime you want. You can. She goes, yeah. She goes, that's different. She goes, I was thinking, I want to go with my friend. I want to go and do this on Saturday. And she goes, I don't need to wait for a drive now. I'm like, no, you don't. She drove herself to church today. She's like, when are you guys going? I'm going to come a little later. I'm like, yeah. She goes, I'll be there for rally. I'm like, amazing. She's like, I'll drive myself. I'm like, yes, you will. When you get keys, it changes your level of access. You need to know today that God wants you to access more things in your spiritual walk. He didn't die an extraordinary death and raise from the dead just so you can go to church. And we're thankful you're at church. Thank you for joining us and for navigating schedule change and location change. And it's brilliant that you're here. Church, I just need to pause. You've done so well navigating this. I know it gets tougher the better the weather gets. But you navigated it. We honor you. But God wants more than just you attending church. The devil doesn't mind you attending church. He just doesn't want the kingdom of God inside of you. And God has more for us. The kingdom of God has keys. And we're in this series of unlocking things. And last week, we talked about those that believe in their heart, confess with their mouth, that Jesus is Lord. We went on the Romans Road last week, took a journey last week, and then Pastor Nancy led us in communion. It was a beautiful time. This morning, I want to encourage this key today. John chapter 14, 13, and I'm going to pray. John 14, 13, this week's key. I believe God's going to encourage you today. I think we're going to learn some things. I think God's going to put something in your spirit. I think it's going to help you this week. Stir some faith. Oh, I came today in my preacher pants and my preacher shoes. I already had some comments about these preacher shoes. You can kill a cockroach in a corner with these things. They're so pointy. I came to preach and encourage you today. I came to encourage you today. If you don't want to be encouraged, you have time to leave. I came to encourage you today. Tell the truth, shame the devil. John 14, 13. So you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it. This is Jesus talking here. He says, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Verse 14, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Let me read that again. You can ask anything in my name and I will do it so the Son can bring glory to the Father. This morning I want to talk on John 14, 13. I believe it's a key for our life that's going to awake some things in your life. I think it's going to clarify some things in your life. And I believe some bold prayers can come out of this experience. Amen? We need some bold prayers to change our kids, change our lives, change our marriages, change our health, change our city. Amen? Let's pray. God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for your word, that it's powerful, that it's bigger than moods, it's bigger than weather, it's bigger than what we're going through, it's bigger than our lives. Your word changes lives, changes history, changes the atmosphere. And God, I'm asking that your word would change me. I ask that your word would change us today. Lord, help us. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for leading us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for healing us. And God, thank you for your holy word. In the name of Jesus Christ, and everybody said, there is so much power in this verse. Power in this verse. If you ask for anything in my name according to his will, it says you can ask anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me anything in my name and I will do it. I read that verse this week and I was confronted with there's so much power in this verse. Listen, here's the thought I had to you. If every one of your prayers was answered this week, every prayer that you've prayed this week, if every one of those prayers was answered this week, would anything change? That's so convicting to me. If suddenly you're like, I didn't pray this week. I didn't pray much this week. I just prayed for my food. Here's the thought. If every one of my prayers and your prayers was answered this week, would anything change for my life? If every one of my prayers was answered this week, would anything change for my family? If every one of my prayers was answered this week, would anything change in my church, in my community? What about my city? It's amazing. I don't stop talking. I have opinions on everything, but I couldn't help but think the power of prayer. What if my prayers were answered this week? Would anything change? I think we need to understand today, and I want to remind you the power we have available as Jesus followers. One of the things that bothers me in Christian faith is that we have this reputation as Christians many times as being anemic, and we're thrown to the winds of culture, and we're powerless, and we're just really nice people. I just keep hearing the poet Kanye in my head going, don't mistake my kindness for weakness. I just hear God going, he's kind, but he's not weak. And as his church and as his Christians, we are kind, but we are not weak. There's so much power in this verse. If you ask for anything in my name, I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. There's so much power in this verse. There's power in the name of Jesus. If I could sing, I would sing that song right now. And I cannot sing. And you're thankful that I'm not going to try to sing. But I hear this song in my heart. There's power in the name of Jesus. Oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. There's something about that name. It changes rooms. It changes lives. It changes atmospheres. You can say you're spiritual. You can say you're godly. You can say you follow a heavenly path. But the second you say the name of Jesus, it divides and changes and sets the room on edge. I am not just spiritual. I'm not just following God. I am a Jesus follower. Where are my Jesus followers in this room? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. So much power in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus is talking here when he says, you can ask for anything in my name. When you say, Jesus Christ, something happens in your prayers and I'll do it. There's so much power in this verse. There's also so much manipulation of this verse. I grew up in a generation where we had televangelists. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some good Lord. I don't know if we watch TV anymore. But there's been so much manipulation of this verse. I remember traveling to a conference as a teenager, and there was this guest speaker at this conference, and his whole point was talking about what God wants to give you, anything based on this verse. If you say the name of Jesus, he'll give you whatever you want. And for the next 2 days, he listed everything he wanted on his list. And I'll never forget, I was only 18, but I remember he wanted a brand new Cadillac. That's what he wanted. And you pick me on the right day, I'll even tell you what this preacher's name was if you pick me on the right day. I'll never forget it because these Cadillacs were old man's car when I was growing up. But then they brought this new one. Lyman, you remember this car? I think it's called the STS. They advertised it as the Cadillac that zag or the Cadillac that zigs. Like, it was like, oh, that's a cool looking car. I was like, that was in the Matrix. That's a very cool looking car. And remember, this guy got up there for the next hour and talked about he wanted a Cadillac STS. He told us the color, what kind of rims he wanted. He wanted the rims to spin, and he went through his list. And he kept saying, if you say Jesus' name, you can have it. And he kept claiming, I'm going to have my Cadillac. I'm going to have my Cadillac. And by the end of the conference, he was hyping up the room of teenagers going, what do you want? What's on your list? You want new Jordans? What do you want? You want a trip? And he started talking about this verse. He mentioned there's 8,000 promises in the Word of God. You can claim it. If you name it, you can claim it. Just use his name and you can claim it. I remember sitting there as an 18-year-old being grieved in my spirit going, I don't know much, but I know that's not what that verse means. It's been so much manipulation. Over the years, I know seniors that have lost money giving it to people on TV just saying, if you send your money in, then we'll just, in the name of Jesus, you can have everything you want. I'm thinking, that doesn't feel right. That's not God. So Jesus here talks about in my name, if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. There's so much power in the name of Jesus. There's so much power in this verse. There's so much manipulation of this verse. It's interesting. Jesus makes a promise in verse 13 and 14 about if you ask for anything in my name, I will do it. What are we supposed to do with this verse? You need to know that we are not a powerless organization. We're not a powerless community. There's power over sin in the grave. There's power over what you're struggling with. There's power over the mental illness that wants to creep in. There's power over the fear. There's power over the physical body illnesses. There's power over debt. There's power over sin. There's power over culture. There's power available. What do we do with this verse? I think some of us are praying such timid prayers. I want to encourage you. There's power in the name of Jesus. Here's what I've realized. Context are the before and after, and it's so important. Don't forget the before and after of this verse. Because I believe this verse is key to our faith. I think some of us need to pray some bolder prayers. We need to step in. Why? Because if we start praying in Jesus' name with faith, understanding what he's telling us, something will happen in our city. Something will happen in our families. Something will happen in our church. And something will happen in our lives. But you cannot forget the before and after. I want to read the before of this verse. Jesus makes this bold statement that we as believers are hanging on to as a key. That we ask for anything in his name. Let's go before, verse 12. Jesus is talking here and he says this. Tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done. And even greater works than I've done. Because I am going to be with the Father. Well, the before of this, before Jesus says you ask anything in my name, he goes and says, hey, you can do the same works I've been doing. In fact, you can do even greater works. Well, what was Jesus doing? Well, in just chapter 4, just 10 chapters before, Jesus was reaching the marginalized. That's the works he was doing. There was a Samaritan woman who was an outcast, who was not of his people. They worshiped different. They lived different. And Jesus visited her at this well and read her mail and restored her relationship with God. And he was reaching the outcast and the marginalized. That's what Jesus does. In chapter 8, Jesus finds this woman caught in the act of adultery. And what was he doing? He was preaching the goodness of God, the forgiveness of God, and the love of God for people. And this woman caught in the very act of adultery, who deserved judgment, who deserved death, who deserved everything bad, was thrown at his feet, and he said, no, let me show you greater things. Let me show you what I'm called here. I'm called to forgive, to love, and to help the outcasts and the ones that are far from God. What about chapter 5? Just 9 chapters earlier, it shows he's showing him the love of God through healings. There was this man sitting at this pool. And the rumor was if you could get in the pool at a certain time, a miracle would happen, you'd get healed. And because he was lame and crippled, he couldn't get to the pool. And Jesus shows up in chapter 5 and goes, no, you don't need to wait for a pool. You don't need for stirring. I'm here. I'm going to show you some great work right now. And I'm going to show you the love of God. I'm going to heal you. What about the deliverance and the miracles and the community? And what about provision in chapter 6? A few chapters before this, 5,000 men and then women and children are listening to the word of God and they're hungry. And Jesus blesses them with provision and food. What are the works he does? He does. He reaches the marginalized. He loves people that are far from him. He heals people. He delivers them. He does miracles. He builds community and he provides for them. That's what Jesus is saying in verse 12. He said, you can do the same works I do. In fact, you can do greater. And then he says, verse 13, ask for anything in my name, and you can do it. You can't forget the before, the context. Well, you can't forget the after. Jesus goes on, look at after this powerful verse that is our key verse, verse 15 and 16. He says, all these works, he said, I've done all these works. In fact, you're going to do greater works. Don't forget, ask for anything in my name. And you'll do it. Verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads you in all truth. The world cannot receive him because he isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now, and later he will be in you. It's interesting. He starts with, if you love me, obey my commandments. The before of this verse was mission. Make no mistake, Jesus is on assignment. He's on a mission to save the lost, to heal the sick, to reach the outcast, to preach forgiveness and grace and love, to welcome people in. Jesus is on mission. Then you have this verse which says, ask me for anything to do with this mission. And then afterwards, he says, don't forget, I'm in charge. I'm the king. I'm the Lord. Obey me. And this verse is in the middle of before and after. Before, listen, I'm on assignment and you're on assignment. There's a reason why you're here. Not just to accumulate things and knowledge and influence and stuff. There's an assignment on your life. You will do greater things than I've done. You've been with me when I healed that man by the pool. Remember that woman who was an outcast that everybody judged and shunned? Remember how I welcomed her in? You can do those things. Remember the woman who deserved the punishment for her sin, who's guilty? Yeah, we forgive. Remember everybody was hungry and there's provision? Yeah, remember I fed them? You can do, I'm on assignment and you're supposed to be on assignment. And then he says after, don't forget, love me, obey my commandments. And in the middle of mission and the middle of submission, we find ourselves on this place where he says, ask for anything in my name. You can have it. The key to interpreting this verse is the qualifier Jesus provides that requests must be made in my name. He says, if you ask in my name, oh, there's power in the name of Jesus. He says, ask for it. Please don't miss this, in my name. It's interesting that when this implies that someone who is acting according to the will and authority of someone else. He says, when you do this, when you ask, make sure you use my name. When our kids were growing up, often after church, because of the style of church we are, we're the first ones in, last ones out. And we actually have an acronym for that with the production team we call Philo, first in, last out. We're Philo. It's all the time, we're Philo. We're in and we're out. Sometimes our kids would come to us going, hey, friends are taking us for lunch. And one of our kids would walk up and go, hey, to me, and go, hey, did you see mom yet? And I hadn't seen mom. Mom says to give us money for lunch. I was like, I haven't seen my, I don't have my phone on me. No, mom said, just give us some money for lunch. Can you transfer some money to our accounts for lunch? I'm like, cool, because if mom said it, I'm good. What they're saying is, they're implying is when they use Nancy's name, her position as mom, they're acting the will of someone else. Because I know how the conversation went down. I don't have my phone on me. I can't transfer money. I'm teaching Next Steps. I don't know where my phone is right now. I never know where my phone is. I can never find my phone. In fact, I text my kids to go tell your mother to go check her phone because I need to get a hold of her because she can't. We're working through some things in our marriage right now, just so you know. I know what happened. They found Nancy and they said, hey, I'm going for lunch with friends. And she said, do you have money? I don't know if I have any money. Tell your father. I can't find my phone. Tell your father to give you some money. When you use someone else's name, what you're saying is I'm living under the authority of their will. Let me give you another example. Growing up in old school movies, they would say it this way. A police officer would be chasing somebody in hot pursuit. They'd be chasing someone down the road and they'd say, stop in the name of the law. They say, stop in the name of the law. What they're implying is I am doing the will of something greater than me. Stop in the name of the law. On the other hand, the police officer couldn't say, stop and buy me lunch in the name of the law. Why? Because the action didn't match the will. Police officer can't say, stop, come pay my mortgage. Why? Because the action has to match the will. They can say stop in the name of the law because according to the law, they have the power to stop you. That's what's happening in this verse. Merely using the phrase, Jesus' name does not guarantee that the person gets whatever they want. And so much has been manipulated here. People have been manipulated by preachers and by out of context verses going, you can name it, you can claim it. If you can blab it, you can grab it. It's yours. We have a bunch of people, selfish people walking around trying to bless their lifestyle and it does not fit the will, that the actions and the words have to match the will which when they were intended. Dad, Mom said give us money for lunch, right? Because that sounds like the will of Nancy to make sure you guys are looked after. Stop in the name of the law. The law says stop. They have authority. I have to stop. You can only use that authority and expect results when you act according to the will of the one who declared it. Jesus does not say, I will give you anything you ask as long as you include the magic words in Jesus' name and I will grant your request. These are not magic words. We all know the magic words. They're please and thank you. Bernie taught our kids that. It was stupendous. No Bernie fans? Okay, too soon. All right. Thank you for the laugh up here. I appreciate you. So many times we just want to include Jesus' name as magic words. It doesn't work that way. Christ promises he'll do anything that is asked in my name. That implies that the person asking is asking something consistent with the will and the nature of Jesus. Taking the Lord's name in vain is more than just saying Jesus when you stub your thumb with a hammer or you're mad at a sporting event. I was always taught, do not take the Lord's name in vain. Taking the Lord's name in vain is more than just using it as a swear word. It's also attaching it to something that's not his will. So many people are like, well, in Jesus' name. Man, I've been in church a long time. I've seen young people. I've seen some airhead young men. In Jesus' name, she's going to be my wife. God told me she's going to be my wife. Goes up to that. I've seen this. Go up to a girl. God told me you're going to be my wife. You're a bonehead right now. That's not the will of God, and that's not the will of her. I can tell you that right now. You need a job and a shower. That's what you need, because you've gone nose blind. But so many times we take the name of Jesus in vain. We just start throwing on Jesus' name, I need this. Jesus' name, I need that. That's not the will of God. We take his name in vain. God has attaching his name to vain prayers outside his will is taking his name in vain. We live in a culture where it's all about what can I get, and we think we attach spirituality to it. That's part of my problem with modern culture and my great friends and brothers, even to the south of us, is they attach the name of Jesus to every endeavor and they think God's going to bless it. It's not the way it works. There's power in the name of Jesus, but it's tied to the power of his will. And we can ask for whatever we need to do that is in the will of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. So here's the question. If you're not there yet, you're going to get there right now. Some of you are ahead of me. Well, how do we know if it's his will or if it's selfishness? That's a great question. Because I think sometimes we don't pray bold prayers because we think, God doesn't want to help me with that. I feel like it's not important enough. I hear you, preachers. The Bible says in Philippians, instead of worrying about everything, pray about everything. But I don't know if I should pray about that. And we're timid. Other people, because you've seen manipulation of verses, people are naming it and claiming it. You're like, I don't want to be a part of that. So how do we know if it's his will or it's selfishness? You book a meeting with the pastor. No, that's not what you do. I don't need another meeting. I got to find a podcast. I got to go to my favorite televangelist. I got to go watch a service online. No, that's not what you need. Because I wrestle with the same things you do. How do I know if it's my will or if it's God's will? Well, the Bible says we pray his word. We pray his word. Why? Because we know that we can use his name when it affects his will. Stop in the name of the law. Listen, his will is tied to his word. It seems like this church, all they talk about is prayer in the Bible. Yes, we do. And there's a reason for that. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the will of God. And there's power in his word. How do we know if we're praying our will or selfish, his will or selfishness? We pray his word. Real quick, there's a couple things I'm learning about prayer. I'm on a journey. It's been an intense journey the last 2 years, but I'm on a journey. I'm so far to go. So if we're not careful, sometimes you'll think us preachers, we have a direct line to God and we have dreams and visions and he speaks to us. It's not like that. You know that. If you know me, you're like, we don't think that about you, Pastor Mike, at all. In fact, we're not even sure some days if you're saved. I know. He's working on me. He's working on you. And everybody said, amen. What I'm learning about prayer. I'm on this journey. Why? Because I refuse to be a full-time pastor and a part-time disciple. You should refuse to be a full-time attender of this church and a part-time disciple. What I'm learning about prayer. Number one, it's not easy, but it's worth it. The prayer room is both at the office and at home. It's more dry than it's not. This is a great advertisement for the prayer room, by the way. It's so dry. It's so boring. You're going to come out and go, that's it? They don't even have a band. We play music over speakers. That's it? The chairs aren't even that comfortable. You make your own coffee. We don't have cream and sugar because we don't have cream and sugar. So if you don't like black coffee, don't come to prayer. It's so boring. It's so dull. It's more routine than it is special. I'll be honest. We talk about the moments. There was one two Fridays ago that was special. Last Friday was so boring. How can you say that? Because I was leading it. It's more effort than easy. I think as a culture, we value being happy way too much. We've made an idol out of happiness. See, I'm old enough. I'm old enough where I remember the stories of people coming home from wars and working really hard jobs, and they didn't have calluses like I do from lifting weights. They had calluses from work. And some of you are those people, the jobs you have, you work hard. And the goal wasn't happiness. I think we put too much of a value on happiness in our culture. And we wonder why when the second people don't feel happy, they feel like they failed in life. I'm 23 and I don't feel happy in my job. I don't feel happy working at Costco or working at that office or doing, I don't feel, and something's wrong. How have I missed it? Because everybody else I follow on Instagram that's courtside or on a private jet or on a beach or doing something, they're all happy. I have failed at life. And we go into this spiraling downward of decay and dismay and despair because we think happiness is the goal. Happiness is not a goal. The Bible says, well done, he'll say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. It doesn't say happy servant. In fact, even the word servant tells you the goal is probably not happy. But I've put such a value on happiness. I judge each day by how I feel. I get asked all the time, how was your week? I'm like, how did I feel this week? It was a good week. Happiness is not the goal. We put so much value on being happy. We equate good with easy. How was work this week? It was easy. It was good. How was that? How was that test? It was easy. It was good. How was that? It was easy. It was good. That's not true. Good and easy do not equate each other. You know the hardest things in life are difficult? Marriage is very difficult. Amen. Yeah. I probably wouldn't have amened that loud. Just like an FYI. In future reference, look at me looking at you. You'll know that I know that you know that it's not easy. Lord, just pray for that marriage right now for the drive home. It's true. During our rally, one of our team shouted out, him and his wife are having a baby, and we celebrated. Parenting is not easy. Staying on budget, it's not easy. Trying to stay healthy is not easy. Following Jesus is not easy. You know, I've realized anything worth doing is not easy. Getting an education. I was talking to someone this week, they're finishing up, they're heading back. Talking to one of our team after exams and finals, it's not easy. I don't think you want to be a doctor, and medical school was really easy. I don't want to have a doctor operate on me that goes, I stopped going, it was so easy. I want it to be difficult. Prayer's not easy, but it's worth it. The best things in life aren't easy. Hebrews 12:2, Jesus is our example. By doing this, we keep our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Hebrews 12:2. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and now he is seated in a place of honor beside God's throne. Listen to me. The cross was not easy, but the cross was good. It says the joy set before him, not the happiness. We've confused happiness and joy. If it was based on happiness, he would have despised the cross and not done the cross. But he says, no, just because it's hard, but it's good. And good things are not easy. And the joy, what was the joy that made Jesus go to the cross? What was the joy before him? It was you and it was me. We were the faces. As he was on the cross, we were on his mind. And when he pictured you in this space, at this time in your life, knowing him, having access to him, a smile went across his face and a joy in his heart that pushed past the pain and the torture and the murder he was going through. Why? Because good things are not easy. We chase happiness. I'm not against happiness. I've learned this about prayer. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Second thing I've learned about prayer is my will should not be done. The Lord's Prayer, when he taught us to pray, we read it every service. It says, Father, your will be done. Why? Because my will should not be done. My will is self-absorbed. I see everything through the lens of Mike. I hear something. I'm like, oh, that's really bad for them. How's that going to affect me? Oh, interest rates. Oh, I'm locked in for 3 more years. I'm good. I hear everything through. I'm so self-absorbed. I check my weather. I check my bank account. I check my car. I check my schedule. Why? Not my will be done, because I'm self-absorbed. And I have a feeling so are you. My will is shallow. My will is emotional. Up and down like a toilet seat in a junior high's bathroom. Up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. That's why we don't pray, Lord, my will be done. We say, Lord, your will be done. His will be done. That's why this verse, our key verse, is tied to verse 13. In verse 13, it says, ask for anything, but it's tied to verse 15, which says, obey my commandments. You can't separate the power of this verse and God's will. You can't separate it. That's why it's not my will should be done, it's his will be done. The power of the name of Jesus, you cannot separate it from the will of God. He says, obey my commandments. Ask for anything, obey my commandments. You cannot separate it. And the second you start putting this into your will, it will not work. Third thing I'm learning about prayer is his will is in his words. Verse 13, ask for anything. It's tied to 15, his commands, which is found in verse 10. Look at this, verse 10 of John 14. His will is in his words. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? This is Jesus talking. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? These words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. Jesus saying, by the way, my words are not my words, they're my Father's words. My will is not my will, it's the Father's will. So my words are his words, my will is his words. By the way, I want you to do greater things than I'm doing, which means that's my will for you, church. Which you need to know, because my will is not my will and my words are my words. That's actually God the Father telling you to do greater works, and that's his will. Now ask for anything in my name according to his will, and it will be done. His will is in his words. Jesus' words and will was the Father's words and will. To pray with power, we have to pray in his name and we have to pray his will. To pray his will, we pray his words. I've been stuck in the book of Psalms in my prayer time for the last few months since January. Did you know Psalms is Jesus' prayer book? I don't know if you knew that. Psalms is Jesus' prayer book. In one instance, the gospel reports how Jesus and the disciples left the Last Supper and they were singing psalms on their way to Gethsemane. Watch this in Matthew 26, verse 30. It says, then they sang a hymn. They were saying, scholars were telling us they were singing one of the psalms. The Psalms is a song book, but it's also Jesus' prayer book. And they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus used Psalms to make sure he was in God's will. Watch this. In Matthew 27, verse 46, on the cross, Jesus is actually quoting Psalm 22 when he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? He was actually reciting a Psalm 22. The Psalms is Jesus' prayer book. Why? Because he knew God's word was his will. And at the most challenging time in his life, he could not trust his own will. He knew he needed God's will to get him through it, because he knew he had power when he was in alignment with God's will. Jesus prayed the Psalms. Look at Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus here is actually quoting Psalm 31 and Psalm 46. Jesus shouted, Father, I entrust my spirit into your hands. And with those words, he breathed his last. If you study scripture, he didn't make up those words. He was reciting Psalm 31 and 46. Praying scripture aligns my prayer to God's will. Go back to our original thought. If every prayer you prayed this week was answered, would anything change in your life, our life, the city life, or the world? We need to start praying bold prayers according to the will of God. Let me read their key verse again. John 14, 13. You can ask anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to God. God provides for what he purposes. Hear me today. Poverty isn't godliness. Hungry isn't holy. And broke isn't better. And some of you are afraid to pray for provision, afraid to pray for healing, Maybe you're too timid to pray for what you need because you're not sure. You don't want to be selfish. We're good Eastern Canadians. We're timid. Some of you need to get bolder in your prayers. It's God's will that we have a building as a church. See, some of you aren't there yet. That's why you're not giving to it or praying for it. But I'm convinced in my mind why. Because God has us on assignment to gather people from all over the city to know that He heals, He forgives, He saves, and He can help. And we're going to do that together. I have no problem believing God wants us to build so we're not homeless or helpless. Poverty is not God's plan. Broke is not better. Hungry is not holy. Some of you are like, I just think the more broke I am, the more I'm like God. God knows all my needs. He meets all my needs according to His riches and glory, according to His will. Today, as I close, I want to pray very simply. Psalm 25 over you. You need to know this today. God's will, God's bill. God's will, God's bill. You know who I heard say that once? A televangelist. But you know what? He had that one right. I've learned this. If God wills it, He'll cover it. God will provide for what He purposes. God's will, God's bill. If we find God's will, it's God's bill. I don't think it's a Cadillac with spinning rims, but I do think it is for your marriage to be healed. I do know it's for your body to be healed. I do know that you have enough provision. They don't need to beg, borrow, or steal. I do know that God wants us to have mental peace. He wants you in healthy relationships. I do believe God wants you to have influence, not to raise your clout, but to live the kingdom of God, to do greater things than Jesus did, to heal people, save people, reach people, love people. And you can't help people if you're broke. And you can't feed people the word of God if you're starving yourself. I believe this provision is God's plan for our lives. His will, His bill. I want to pray Psalm 25 over you today. In the name of Jesus. Would you stand to your feet all over this room? We're going to worship in a minute. But I want to read Psalm 25 over you. How do you know the will of God? You read His word. Some of you need to start praying psalms. I love the psalms. They're so emo. David is emotional. He's up and he's down. And in the middle of it, God says, I'm going to help you. Let me pray Psalm 25 over you. You're going to see it on the screen behind me. Verse 1. O Lord, I give my life to you. That's God's will. Give is an action of the will. Lord, I pray right now for every person in this room that we would choose to follow Jesus. Father, I pray right now, God, with those that are sitting on the fence, and maybe they've given you their part of their time and part of their life. They've given part of their schedule, but Father, there's parts of their lives that are hidden, and they still rule their lives. God, again, we say in Jesus' name, help us follow you. Lord, I give you my life again today. We give you our life again today. Would you lead us? God, you provide for what you purpose. You help those that you lead. We pray your will today. Verse 2, I trust in you, O God. Do not let me be disgraced or let my enemies rejoice in my defeat. Oh, we trust in you today, Jesus. Father, we don't trust in money. We don't trust in relationships. We don't trust in our jobs. We don't trust in our government. We don't trust in our pastors. We don't trust in willpower. We don't trust in our influence. We trust in you. God, I'm praying right now for power over our enemies today, the enemies of sin, that you would break it in our lives, in Jesus' name. Praying power over our enemies today of poverty, those that are struggling right now financially. God, I pray for better jobs. I pray for financial breakthrough, Father. I pray that there would be a miracle in their life, not to make them great, but Father God, so that they can follow your will. I pray for new ideas, new inventions, new opportunities, new positions. I pray for a miracle financially in their lives. I pray for the enemy of apathy right now to shake off of our teenagers, to shake off of our men, to shake off of our adults. We say, God, defeat the enemy of apathy that wants to take over our faith. God, help the apathy in my life. God, we pray against the enemy of sickness right now in Jesus' name. We speak healing over you, Araya. We speak healing over you, Emily. We speak healing over you, Erica. We speak healing over you, Jandira. We speak healing right now. If you have a need in your body, I speak healing over every joint in your body, every muscle, every ligament, every part of your blood system, your neuro system, your skeletal system. I speak the enemy of sickness to be defeated in Jesus' name. We ask for healing in Jesus' name. You missed a chance to say amen right there. We ask for healing in Jesus' name. Because we can ask for anything in your name, according to your will. God, your will is healing today. Verse 4, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. God, I'm thankful for direction today. I pray for those looking for decisions. Father, I pray for Fernando making decisions today. I pray for me making decisions today. I pray for us making decisions today. God, I'm asking today, right now, for right decisions to how to lead our families, how to lead our businesses, how to lead our churches, how to lead ourselves. God, I'm asking for clear minds, and I pray you to remove anxiety, depression, and fear in Jesus' name. If you're struggling with depression, I pray it be gone in Jesus' name. If you're struggling with anxiety, be gone in Jesus' name. If you find your focus is gone and you feel like your mind is wandering, you find that you cannot keep a clear thought, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray soundness of mind over you. In Jesus' name, it's the will of God. Verse 6, remember, O Lord, your compassion and unfailing love which you have shown from long ages past. God, you're compassionate and you're loving. I pray for those that are feeling lonely and isolated today. I pray they would feel the love of God in Jesus' name. I pray past hurts and trauma that have separated you, that made you hard to connect with people, that you have a strong wall up. I pray God would melt those walls, that you would walk into community right now in Jesus' name. I pray you'd feel the love of God and His church in Jesus' name. I pray what the enemy formed against you as a weapon would not prosper. That abuse, that conversation, that divorce, that hurt, that moment, I pray you would be confronted with the love of God. Unfailing love of God in Jesus' name. Let God in to heal your heart in Jesus' name. Verse 7, do not remember the rebellious sins of my youth. Remember me in the light of your unfailing love. You are merciful, O God. God, I thank you that our sins are forgiven. We do not deserve forgiveness. We do not deserve hope. But God, you do not remember my rebellious sins. God, thank you that my past is forgiven. I'm asking today for forgiveness for all of us in Jesus' name. I'm asking to be made clean right now in Jesus' name. I pray those habits would drop off. I pray those regrets would drop off. I pray those secret sins would drop off. I speak that you'll be clean in Jesus' name and you'll be close to Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you fill us in Jesus' name? Verse 8, the Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path for those who go astray. God, I pray when we've wandered off course that you would correct us. Show us the right path, how to get back into right standing in our relationships, in our faith, maybe in our businesses, maybe in our private lives. Would you just not convict us? Would you actually lead us? Show us how to come back. Forgive us and help us in Jesus' name. Verse 9, he leads the humble in doing right and teaches them his way. Lord, we humble ourselves right now. We say your will be done. Teach us to do what is right. How to live right, lead right, be right. Verse 12, who are those that fear the Lord? He will show them the path they should choose. They will live in prosperity and their children will inherit the land. God, we thank you that you've promised us more than enough. Prosperity is not getting by. Prosperity is not just enough. Prosperity is not good enough. It's more than enough. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ for more than enough hope right now. Prosperity of hope. I pray for more than enough health. I speak healing again. More than enough health. Not just enough to get by. I speak divine healing in Jesus' name. I pray for more than enough prosperity of peace right now. God, I pray for peace more than any drug can give us, any vacation can give us, more than any therapist can talk to us about. I pray for divine peace that goes beyond all understanding, prosperity of peace. I pray for more than enough joy, more than enough friendships, more than enough strength, more than enough faith, more than enough finances, and more than enough opportunity right now. Poverty is not godliness. Hungry is not holy. Broke is not better. God, we ask for prosperity in body, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe together. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, our key verse, and we're getting ready to worship today. I told you these shoes would not disappoint. I was stealing something. It's a joke. Okay. John 14:13, our key verse. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Church, it's His will. It's His bill. I want to encourage you this week, pray for your kids by name. In Jesus' name. Pray for your marriage. In Jesus' name, pray for your health. In Jesus' name, pray for your pastors. In Jesus' name, we pray for a building. In Jesus' name, we pray for your mental health. In Jesus' name, we pray His will, it's His bill. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, as we get ready to go, church, can we worship? Lead us, Alex, today. God is so good, amen. Let's worship.
Praise 'cause you're faithful, praise 'cause you're true.